You can't blame me for that one, Quintero said, shaking a finger at Kalstad. I had plenty of help.
Sure you did.
So, what do you do, Grant?
Grant explained that he was an astrophysicist and hadn't yet received his work assignment.
Astrophysicist? Quintero scratched his head.
Grant noticed that his dark hair was tightly curled, almost kinky.
You're in the wrong part of the universe for that.
Before Grant could reply, Kalstad said, I'm taking Grant down to the aquarium. Want to come? Something flashed across Quintero's face, an expression that came and went so quickly Grant could not tell what it was.
No can do, amigo. Got too much work to catch up with. Woe's got us on double shifts now.
Double shifts? Grant asked. What are you working on? Quintero glanced at Kalstad, then hauled himself to his feet.
Got to run. Nice to meet you, Grant. Adios, muchachos.
He practically ran out of the cafeteria. Once Grant finished his dessert, Kalstad led him out into the corridor.
We could do this tomorrow, Grant said. I mean, if it's your time to retire for the night.
No, no, Kalstad said quickly. Sometimes I stay up even past 10 o'clock.
Grant didn't know if that was supposed to be a joke or not, so he stayed silent. Kalstad seemed impatient to get to the fish tanks, whatever they were. Grant couldn't believe the station had an aquarium built into it. But then why was there a marine biologist on the staff?
Kalstad set a brisk pace as they walked through the corridor.
He glided along, wraith-like, but the expression on his wan face seemed eager. The corridor was deserted, empty of people, all the doors closed for the night. Up ahead, though, the corridor seemed to end in a metal wall with a single small door set into it. No, not a door, Grant saw as they got nearer. It was a pressure hatch, much like the kind of hatch he'd seen on airlocks, with a security keypad set into the bulkhead alongside it. Letters in fading, flaking red paint above the hatch proclaimed, "Authorized personnel only." Someone had scrawled beneath it, "No fishing allowed." The metal of the bulkhead seemed to be covered with freshly scrubbed areas and patches of new-looking paint. Apparently, other graffiti had been written or scratched into the bulkhead and then erased or painted over.
Woe tries to stay ahead of the graffiti artists, Kalstad explained. If he catches you at it, you spend the next week of your off-duty time with Sheena, scrubbing and painting.
Pointing to the official notice above the hatch, Grant asked, Are we authorized personnel?
Kalstad shrugged his slim shoulders.
We are if we know the entry code.
He tapped on the keypad with quick, nervous fingers. The red light atop the keys turned green, and the hatch popped open with a thin puff of chill, dank air from the other side of the bulkhead.
Kalstad pulled the hatch open, grunting.
Laney gave me the combination, he said. She likes to play in here. She likes an audience.
Completely puzzled, Grant stepped over the combing of the hatch. This section of the station felt cooler, chilly, and clammy with humidity. The corridor was much narrower here and dimly lit, but Grant could see a glow along the wall. Then his breath caught in his throat. It was an aquarium. The glow was from a thick, long window. On its other side swam a dizzying assortment of fish, big ones, little ones, some nuzzling the gravelly bottom, others weaving through swaying fronds of plants. They were every color of the rainbow, bright stripes, bold patterns of spots. Gleaming, silvery squid slithered through the water, tentacles waving.
Aquaculture, said Kalstad. That's how it started. The first settlers on the moon found that they could grow more protein in less space from fish farming than from meat animals. With a pang, Grant remembered that he should be at Farside, on the moon, or at least in Selene or one of the other lunar communities. Instead,
come on, Kalstad beckoned, heading along the narrow passageway. You've got to see this. They passed more tanks filled with fish. The pale glow from the underwater lights made Kalstad look more ghostly than ever, with his silvery hair and pallid complexion. He stopped and jabbed a thumb at the next window.
This is where Laney likes to do it, he said with a malicious grin.
Grant stared into the tank. A pair of dolphins were swimming there, sleek and huge, bigger than horses, gliding effortlessly, playfully through the water. Their tank is almost a kilometer long, Kahlstrid said. At feeding time, it's open to the other tanks. Grant gaped, slack-jawed. He heard himself ask, in an odd, faint voice, "Why in the world did you bring dolphins all the way from Earth?" Kahlstrid made a derisive grunt. "It's Woe's idea, our intellectual cousins," he calls them. "Old Woeful thinks the dolphins can help us to explore Jupiter's ocean." "Our intellectual cousins," Grant repeated slowly, still staring at the graceful dolphins. They seemed to be smiling at him as they swam past, then turned to stare back at him. "There's something else you should see," Kahlstrid said, motioning Grant farther along the passageway. "What is it?" Grant asked, following the biophysicist as they walked past the end of the dolphin's tank. The lighting was dimmer here, the walls on both sides of the narrow corridor blank metal. "Quiet now," Kahlstrid whispered, finger to his lips. Slowly, softly, the two men walked down the dimly lit way. Kahlstrid stopped and motioned Grant to move ahead of him. "It's on the right," he whispered. Grant tiptoed through the shadows until he saw an opening in the wall on his right. He glanced back at Kahlstrid, who motioned him to go through it. Puzzled, Grant stepped into the wide entryway and found himself in some sort of darkened chamber. There was something in the far corner, a large heap of... A full-grown gorilla opened its eyes not more than 3 meters in front of Grant. He realized it had been slumped down on its haunches, asleep. There were no bars between Grant and the gorilla. No partition at all. Before Grant could move or think or even yowl with terror, the gorilla shambled to its feet, huge, fierce, leaning on its knuckles, fangs bared. Grant could feel the heat of the animal's body, smell its breath, and its hideous, hairy stench. He stood there, petrified, as the gorilla raised a powerful, hairy arm, thick as Grant's torso, its massive paw nearly brushing his face. "No!" it said in a rasping voice. Its open hand was bigger than Grant's head. "You go! Now!" Sheena. Grant stood transfixed, too frightened to move, unable to breathe almost, as the angry gorilla took a shambling step toward him, fangs bared, eyes glaring. And it talked. "Go!" it repeated. "You go!" He heard Kahlstrid making a strange, strangled noise behind him. Turning his head ever so slightly, Grant saw the biophysicist nearly choking with barely suppressed laughter. The gorilla blinked, put down its raised arm. Kahlstrid stepped up beside Grant and said lightly, "Now, Sheena, it's all right, you know me." He was grinning broadly, barely able to contain his merriment. The gorilla hunkered down on its knuckles. Grant saw its red-rimmed eyes shift from Karlstad's face to his own and then back again.
"Egon," the gorilla said.
Its voice was a raspy, painful whisper. It reminded Grant of Dr. Woe's hoarse, strained voice. "Good girl, Sheena," Kahlstrid said brightly, as if speaking to a 2-year-old. "You're right. I'm Egon. And this is Grant," he added, pointing. "He's talking to a 300-kilo gorilla," Grant said to himself. "And the gorilla's talking back." "Grant is a friend," Kahlstrid said amiably.
"Grant,"
the gorilla whispered. "That's right." Turning slightly toward him, Kahlstrid said, "Grant, this is Sheena. She works with us." It took Grant 2 hard swallows to find his voice. "Hello, Sheena." Sheena blinked at him, then slowly, solemnly, extended her massive right hand toward Grant. "Just put your hand on her palm," Kahlstrid told him sotto voce. "Gently." His heart thumping wildly, Grant stretched out his right arm and let his fingertips touch Sheena's leathery palm. His hand looked minuscule in the gorilla's huge paw. Grant got a vision of her closing her